Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
You are listening to the Business Rescue Roadmap, episode number 106. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel, and on today's show, we have Dana Mulstaff. Dana is a mother, author, business, and content strategist. She's a coach, a podcaster, and a blind spot reducer. Dana is the author of Boss Mom. It's the ultimate guide to raising a business and nurturing your family like a pro. And she's also the founder of the Boss Mom Movement. She serves boss moms who yearn for more time and less guilt when it comes to building their business and raising their family. She provides the tools they need to get more out of their content and business without sacrificing their family goals. Dana, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tables have turned. You've already interviewed me, so I'm excited to kind of return the favor and interview you today.
I know. Well, and I had a blast hanging out with you.
So yeah,
I like
too. More
Stacy time.
Well, I would love to kind of hear your story. I've heard before you talk about Boss Mom and the birth of it and how it's not even that old, which is crazy to me because you have just blown up. And I would love to hear the moment when, like, we call it the commit to win or cut your losses. You know, that story when you decided, okay, I think I might have something here. I'm going to go for it. I'd love to hear that.
Sure. Oh my gosh. I don't know if anybody who's maybe looking to quit their job or if you've been in a situation where you've always known you wanted to own your own business. Like you always knew you wanted to be your own boss and you were never sure when that moment would come. It's kind of like when you decide to become a parent, it's like hard to figure out when that moment will be. And you're just like, I just have to close my eyes and jump off the cliff.
Right. Never the right time.
I know. And I made that decision. There was some circumstances that came up. It was the right decision. We're like, great. We're going to do it. Then I immediately got pregnant.
Nice.
You know, and so I was trying to figure out, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, which I had no idea how to do that. And it's so funny now, I feel like we live in the words and the ways of working online. But I vividly remember when I started to get into the online world, that it was like a crazy forest of just scariness, right?
Yeah.
Like you had no idea what anything was. And then I found out I was pregnant. So I basically spent the whole first year not knowing what on earth I was doing, completely scared, pretty guilty about like, should I be a stay-at-home mom? But I don't really want to be a stay-at-home mom, all that kind of stuff. So we had my son, got into the, groove, decided to move out to California. We were in Columbus at the time, so I could be closer to family. Which is a much better place, it seemed, for building an entrepreneur sort of lifestyle. And I came out here and I was doing content strategy. And actually before that, I wasn't even doing like, there was, I think in most people's lives, a morphing of like what you're doing in your business. And I'd come to this space where I was doing content strategy and it was like, yeah, I'm getting in my groove. Like I'm getting clients. I love what I do. But when you go out and you talk about things, it was like, yay, content strategy, which is, if I'm sitting down and talking about it, I could talk about it all day.
Right.
But it was still like building a business off of my skills, which is, it totally doable. People do it every day, but it has its challenges. And at that time, I was in a mastermind group with my with some people that I got invited with. One was a book coach and he's like, I'll give you a deal if you want to write a book. And I was like, oh, I've been wanting to write a book. It's on my bucket list. And so we sat down and I thought I'd write a book about content strategy. And it turned out I wanted to write a book about being a mom and being an entrepreneur. And really, I mean, I felt horrible that I did not want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like I must be a terrible person that I don't want to spend 24 hours a day with my kid and that I want him to take a nap so I can work on my business.
Right.
And I love spending time with him, but I can't do 24 hours a day. Like I would literally be came to the realization I would be a horrible mom because I get stressed out. I get, totally react inappropriately. Like I need my space and I need to be building things and creating things and all that kind of stuff. And when that book came, like that idea came out, and I put it out to the different communities I was in, because I didn't have my own community at the time. And people were just like, yes, yes, yes. I want this.
I just think that mom guilt is so real. So I just think it resonates with so many people. And we're in a whole nother ball game when you're talking about mom entrepreneurs, because we just don't go through the same things that moms who work full time, you know, they've got the 9 to 5 or they're staying at home with their kids. We don't go through the same struggles. So it's just such a community, and I love it.
Yeah. What's funny is you had mentioned like so that opportunity cost, like, do I stay or do I go kind of thing. I probably toiled with that. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs in their first budding years of trying to create a business, like once a week, you know, is this worth it? Like, oh my gosh, I'm looking and wow, I made more money. I spent more money. You know, this, I mean, I'm pretty sure there were a good 2 years before I ever paid myself anything. And it's one of those ones where you go out and you see webinars and it's like, I made 6 figures. And you're like, I would love to know how much they paid themselves and how much they actually got like each month. Not because it's not valuable about how much they made and that that's a massive, amazing milestone, but just that, like, let's also be honest with each other that our businesses are like our babies. Like, they take all of our effort, all of our love, and it's exhausting. And a lot of times what we bring in is just as much as what we put out. And I finally then, when we started the Boss Mom brand, got to this place where, oh, wow. Like, I just had a call with a client and she was asking, Dana, when did like this really take off? And I said, honestly, like spring of this year was when I stopped chasing business. Or feeling like I was chasing business
and it's really coming started, to you. Right.
Yeah, it was not only coming to me, which gave me the space to really love and grow my business the way that I feel like I now have the space to love and grow my kids.
Yes.
It's just a crazy thing.
It is. And I always tell people, because I've had a few businesses, and there's always that point where, you know, you're spending more than you're making. You just feel like, when is this going to get better? But it does. You know, there is a point where all of a sudden you can start to feel it, you know, and it's getting better and better. And then you're just like, how did I get here? And I feel like, you know, that's kind of where you probably have gone through. And now you're at the other end of the, you know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're there, you're on that other side. And it's so scary to know that you could have maybe thought, well, is this really for me? Should I walk away and then miss out on this just incredible journey that you've been on?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, in some ways, I question myself all the time, but I don't think I could have ever gone back to a job. You know, like my husband would say, Dana, you were making 6 figures before. I know you're a 6-figure person. And he'd say, so we just need to figure out when that 6-figure part's going to happen again.
Right.
And sometime decide whether it's going to be here or somewhere else. And in my mind, it's like, I can never go back. You know, like I've left, I can never re-enter. I mean, I suppose I could at some point, but I don't think I could ever be an employee again when I've tasted the fruits of getting to choose exactly who I work with. Like, there's no politics in my business. It's all people I enjoy, you know, people that we have fun with and laugh with. All of my clients get me, I get them. If my kid comes home sick, they have complete empathy and love, not, oh my gosh, we've got to postpone, you know, this call. How could you do that to me? I'm your client, I'm paying you. Like, I don't have any of that in my life. And I don't know that I could ever give that up. So in my mind, I always thought I just have to make it work. And I remember really this conversation with my husband where he was like, well, we're going through the budget for our home. And he's like, well, let's talk about like, how much can you give? And I was like, that's not the way I want to approach this. I want to approach this as, how much do we want in our home? Like, how much do we want to be paying myself? Because if I say, how much can I give? It's always going to not be a lot, because I could always give back into my business. I could always go to more conferences, get more tools, hire more people. I need to start shifting it to say, you know, and that was a huge thing. Annette Ferguson is in my academy, but we've also interviewed her. And that's one of her big things. She has a whole course on, you know, she's an accountant, on how to pay yourself. And it like switched my brain to go, no, let's talk about how much we're going to pay myself. And then I'm going to look at my numbers and make sure I can pay myself that. And right.
You are an expense just like anything else in your business.
And it was liberating. I think the day I really decided to do that was extremely liberating, because I looked in my business and went, oh, okay, now I know if I can afford that extra tool that's telling me I've only got 24 hours to get this amazing price, or I can afford to go to that conference, or you know what, that conference is going to have to wait till next year. And I really started to weigh what I needed in my business, because the priority of my family and paying me became the priority, not just, oh, I made money, so let's put it back into the business.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you on, can you go back to a 9-to-5? So yesterday I was on an interview. I was being interviewed on somebody else's podcast, and he said, oh, that's so great. You have your degree. So that's, you know, something to fall back on if this doesn't work out. And I'm thinking, buddy, I've been an entrepreneur for 14 years. There is no way I could go to a 9-to-5 job and even think I could have a boss. Like, that's just so out of the realm that something I would think about. And for me, if something didn't work out, I'd create another business. You know, once you're an entrepreneur, that's just kind of how your mindset is and how it shifts. So I completely hear you on that.
Yeah. In fact, I feel like a lot of times part of the challenge of being an entrepreneur is we're always inventing new things, thinking of new things, adding on to our business. Like, they go, Dana, so you've got everything going. It seems like you've got systems for everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, every time I create one system, my brain goes, oh, let's do something else fun. And I enter a whole new realm or challenge of something I have no idea how to do. I have to, you know, so it's this idea that, oh, I've you know, created a business that just runs on its own. And you're like, parts of it do.
Yeah.
But every time something frees up space, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. So I don't just sit down and not do anything. I'm thinking, oh, great, what's the next step? And that's just, I can't help myself.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to talk about kind of just your personal strengths. So what would you say are, you know, one or two strengths that you really bring to the table in your business?
Well, I think decisiveness and action has to be. I mean, a lot of people that I work with refer to me as an action coach above all else, because I think in action, I speak in action. Like, okay, great. I understand this is a challenge. What are we going to tweak? How are we going to make it work? What are we going to do? I think part of why I always moved into management roles, or even like I don't know if you ever recognize this about yourself, but I would go to volunteer and I would end up being like the person leading everybody.
In charge. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it just organically happened. And the reason is because I'm decisive. I'm okay with shouldering the risk of my decisions. And I think that's really scary to a lot of people. They go, well, I'll just do what you do. Not because I don't want to have a voice or an opinion, but because I don't want to be the one that gets in trouble or has to deal with it if it doesn't go right. And for me, I'm expecting that only 20% of the time it's going to go right. But the 80% of the time, I'm either going to learn for it, tweak it, move it forward, get rid of it, do whatever it is. So the quicker I can do that, the more decisive I can be, the quicker I can move forward with things, the quicker I'm going to get to that 20%, which I know is going to rock my world. And then those are the things that I'm going to do more of, bigger of, put more money into. And I'm telling you, that alone is the reason people look at me and they're like, Dana, you're so productive. And I'm like, no, I'm not productive. I'm decisive.
Yeah.
Like, that's, there's
well,
a
you
big
just,
difference.
Right. You don't waste time. You just go for it. Cause you know that you just have to kind of throw it out there, see what sticks, and then test it, tweak it, you know, keep measuring it. So that's just all part of it. You know, you've got to just do something to see where your next step is going to actually take you.
Yeah. And I think second thing, which I know so many people in my community and other communities have a problem with, is I don't question my value. Like, I don't create content and then go, oh gosh, this probably isn't valuable at all. It's probably not helpful to anybody. I don't ever question that. If I saw enough value in it and went out and asked the market about it, and I do the things that you're supposed to do to like make sure people need what you're making. But after that's done and I'm creating it, I don't ever question whether or not what I'm doing is valuable or important. Or is worth what I'm you know, charging for or doing those things. And because of that, it allows me to make it and then move quickly to the part where I'm getting people to see it and getting the visibility. Because the biggest thing I think entrepreneurs have a hard time with is they make something, they become extremely attached and married to it because it was hard to do and took a lot of their love and vulnerability.
Right. It's their baby.
Yeah. And then they don't spend the time. They keep going in thinking the content is the issue because they're not spending the time to go out and get people to realize that it even exists and that it's there and that they're somebody they should be learning from. And so they continually go in and tweak or add or do things or change pricing to the content instead of going out to the big thing that you should be doing, which is telling people about it and connecting with people. And that's where like at least half of my time, if not more, goes, because that's the thing that draws people in. And so I think not questioning the value of my content is a strength, because it gives me the space to go out and do what I need to do, which is go talk to people.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think there are so many people, so many of my clients that they're not charging what they're worth. And I'll even say, you're so underpriced. Let's look at your competitors. And they just, there's that feeling inside where, am I worth it? Will people really pay this? So I think that is a huge strength that you're really that confident to know, I know this is worth it. I know people will pay for it. And it's worth so much more than what you're even selling it for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pricing is such a it's such a strange thing. Like when we look at it, it's so scary to everybody. And it's so interesting. People will have this like crazy, like visceral effect going on when you talk about upping something from $47 to $97 or like $297 to $397 or, and it goes up and up and up, but it's so interesting how people think that way. And at the point where you just start going, oh, I have to charge more. Otherwise I can't actually run a business and make money. And then you charge more and you recognize, oh, okay, I can see people actually will pay this. And the people that won't pay it are the people that probably weren't going to pay it anyway, or are going to probably not see the value in it. Because if what you're doing is valuable, and you display it in the right way, you're telling people why it's valuable, the transformation it's going to offer, the problem that you're solving, all that good stuff, you know, what their life is going to be like if they don't get your help, the pricing is something that we cling to so much. And it's another thing, like you just got to be confident in your pricing, just like you're confident in your content, and then worry about going out and getting to know people and bringing them to you. And that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I've always been taught to do as well is don't just look at, how much are you going to sell it for, but how much is it worth? What could this product or service give to your customer? And when I start looking at the value and the return on their investment, I can feel confident knowing, I'm setting my price at X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. It's so funny. I joke that there's a sales page I did a long time ago for something that, a product I put out a couple years ago. And I remember putting in the price of not doing this. And I actually added up the cost of tissues for a whole year, because you're going to cry a whole lot more when isn't going right. You know what I mean? It was how to be playful. But honestly, it's hard to put a price on stress. It's hard to put a price on, sadness. It's hard to put a price on not feeling good about who you are and what you're doing. It's, hard. It's much easier to say, you're going to make money off of this webinar if I show you how to do it. And everybody else that is coaching or selling things that have to do with more of the non-easy to equate money to. But it's get creative. Because when you start to really not just say, what's the price of happiness, drill down and be that, the price of that moment when you can do A, B, and C and it makes you happy. That moment when you take that perfect picture of your child that captures a moment that you will remember forever. That's what my photography class does for you. Those things. And what is that price? Let's put a price on that. And when you start getting super, super, super specific about those things and what that value is, then people start to see and really understand that. Otherwise, if we just stay on the surface, I think that's what we tend to do with our what we're telling people the value of our stuff is, I'm going to help you lead a life you love. What does that mean? Let's dig a little deeper. Let's really get down
something
to
something more tangible.
Yeah. And then people start to feel it and imagine it and reminisce about it. And those are the things that get them to go, oh, I need this in my life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and now that we're kind of talking about money, I would love to know, is there a financial mistake that really just sticks out to you from this past, year or two while you're building the Boss Mom brand? Something where you shouldn't have spent the money there, but you didn't know, and something that my listeners can take and learn from it.
Yeah. When I was starting out a couple years ago, I ended up paying a coach. It was about a $5,000 investment. And she's a good coach, but I was in no way ready for her. And I wish one of us, because it might have been that I just talked a good talk and she's like, oh yeah, she knows exactly what she wants. And I really obviously didn't.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to be in that situation where I feel like she probably had a lot of value to give me. And I was not in any way able to use it. And I feel like some of that's on her, some of that's on me. But I in my mind now, I use that when I talk to people about coaching, and it's like, no, you can't come in unless we've got some of these things. Otherwise, I know you're not going to be helpful. And, you know, some of that is mindset. Some of that is, you know, can we get past these certain blocks where you're not going to allow yourself to make money? Those kinds of things that are, that I try to think to now. So it's almost, it was kind of now that I'm like a coach and really have a good thriving community in the coaching world. It was almost like a godsend that that happened, because it was an experience to me that I want to make sure never happens to people.
Oh, yeah. Right. Because like you said, some was on you and some was on her. And you want to, you know, use that lesson and go, I don't want this to be on me. I don't want people to think that, oh, I should have said no and taken them anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't have the money. I mean, we had the money in my home, but we didn't have the money in my business at the time. Like now I don't invest things that my business can't pay for. But when I was first getting started, it was like, I'm going to sit down with my husband and we're going to talk about this investment. So I actually recently, I think back in March, got, I guess that's not so recent anymore, got signed up with a new coach that's, you know, that is, it's a group coaching program. Because I'm like one of those, if you're going to be a coach, you should also have a coach.
Absolutely. I think every business owner, they need a coach.
Yes. And in this particular one, his specialty, he's an Australian and I love him. And his specialty is building a group coaching program. And I'm like, awesome. That's right when I'm in the thick of it. He's amazing. And it's a big investment. And I like, it's $2,000 a month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is a lot. And I basically like talked to my husband. We talked through it logically. He's like, all right, there's a 30-day money back guarantee. You have to make back this amount in 30 days. And I was able to do that within 60 days because I was super serious this time.
Yeah.
I made back the full year's investment within 60 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because now I look at it and I'm like, oh, I can't have another situation like before. Like I can't invest in somebody who has a lot of value to give and not be serious about taking that value, putting it into action and actually making it happen. And when I did that, I was like, oh, this works. Great coaching. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, and I just love that because I again, it's talking about, it's not about you spending $2,000. It's about the return and the value of what you're getting out of it. So I think that's such a great example to share with my listeners.
Yeah. And it's funny because my husband asked me, he's like, I, you know, don't see you on calls all the time with this coach. And I was like, yeah, because if I don't need something, I'm not going to spend time like just being like, oh, I don't know if I need something. And so I'm, you know, I don't get in there all the time, but I coach differently. I built my program differently. I structured things differently. I run my business differently because of this coach. He's already been every penny valuable to what I've, you know, to what I've paid him, even if I never talked to him again. And so one of the things I want to tell people is, you know, we have this sort of like distance, right? You're like, well, it was okay because it was 6 months ago and I saw the value 6 months ago. But I challenge everybody to always remember anybody you collaborate with, work with, pay, whatever that is, to always remember how they actually changed what you're doing now. We talk, you know, talk about you create content and you're showing them like, what's the value? Think about that lifetime value of you tweaking the way you ran that program or tweaking the way you did this or tweaking how you connected with people to be featured in places or whatever that is. Like, I always want to make sure I remember how valuable each coach or each person I interact with is in my life, because distance sort of makes you forget.
Yeah,
And I want to always make sure I remember the people that helped me get where I am today, even if it was a small tweak in mindset or tweak in the way I run something.
Yeah, such a good point. Thanks for sharing that. Well, before we move on, let me just take a quick break to thank one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook tool of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap. Again, that's audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap for your free audiobook today. All right, we are back with Dana Malstaff. And Dana, I just have a couple more questions before we go. But one of my favorite questions is defining work-life balance. I would love to hear your definition. Does it exist? And if so, have you found it?
Yeah, I love it. I in the Boss Mom book, I was like, am I going to catch a bunch of flack for this? Because I basically say I don't think the idea of it exists. Like, to me, the idea of balance is exhausting. It's like, put a little sugar here, a little sugar here, a little sugar here, you know, or I'm thinking of like, Indiana Jones, where he's like, this sandbag weighs about as much as this gold thing. And, you know, and it never works out. And you end up having a big, you know, stone ball run after you. And so I, the idea of balance just never seemed fun to me. It seemed exhausting. And knowing what I know about like starting a business and having a like baby at the pretty much exact same time, it's stressful and it's like guilt laden. So for me, but I also recognize, oh, I've got multiple things going on, multiple priorities, and I'm constantly in a state of figuring out what's important to me. And so for me, I use the term conscious integration, which is there's so much of my business that can teach my kids amazing things. There's so much about raising kids that can teach me amazing things about my business. There are times when my business is gonna mean I have to go to that meeting or go out of town and a kid's going to get sick and I have to have my husband or somebody else take care of them. There's going to be times when my kids have me dropping everything in my business and running to them. So priorities are for me a conscious integration of just continually looking at everything that's going on in my life and deciding on a daily or weekly basis what's important to me, doing those things, and then not feeling guilty about whether or not it's a little more time or a little more time over here. And the moment the guilt starts to creep in, I take a little check and I go, is the guilt creeping in because I am spending too much time in my business when that priority just sort of ran away with itself? Or am I just feeling guilty because, you know, I'm getting emotional or whatever it is, you know, which I'll be honest. I know I, you know, like men and women are supposed to be equal, but I get way more emotional than my husband. It just is a fact of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I do that and I just use that as a gut check. And then I recognize things are going to be more important over here sometimes and more important over here sometimes. And I just always say, what's important to me? What do I really want to accomplish? And I don't just do what's important to me on the task level. Like I want to get down about what's important to me. Like I've started to build in my schedule where I get off early on Fridays, getting the kids early and going to the library so we can pick out books for the weekend because that's
an important
thing that I haven't been doing. And I really want to make sure I'm integrating it. There's a podcast that I love. It's called Lou and Bean Reads. And it's basically where the two little girls and they are they get the author of a book to read through Skype, read the book to them. And then the girls ask questions. It's so cute. Yeah. It's such a podcast. It's so much fun. And that's what I want to do is I want to make sure I'm doing those things. So I said, that's a priority. So I'm going to make sure I make time to get off early and, you know, go and spend that time with my kids and get that into a practice in our life. And that means less business on Friday. And maybe that means I take one less sales call or one less something a week, but I'm okay with that. And that's it. I think the balance for me is just owning your decisions and not feeling guilty about the consequences, because when you own and you're confident about your decisions, then you're okay with it. Just the same thing about being decisive. You're okay with shouldering what that means for you, continually gauge against that and then live your life.
Yeah. And that reflection you talked about is huge, because you might think, okay, I'm pretty balanced. I've got this going. And then all of a sudden, how did I get here? How did I all of a sudden, you know, stop doing this or doing that? So that reflection just has to continuously happen.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, I got sick about, a couple weeks ago. My daughter got to, like, it was 2 weeks of just pain all around. Everything got backed up, like meetings got canceled. It was just insane. And I said, okay, everybody's better. And I'm pretty much going to have like 2 weeks of crazy push.
Right.
Like, that's just going to happen. But I like put a date in my calendar and I said, I got to reassess at this date because you can get stuck in a rut of push. And I didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay, once the date came, I sat down and I said, am I working too much? And the answer was yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, you are, Dana, because you've gotten into a routine for the last 2 weeks of staying up later after the kids go to bed and not doing things you want to do, but doing things you need to do. And I said, okay, good. We did an assessment. Back off, Dana.
Yeah, I love that you scheduled it too, because you can say, oh, yeah, 2 weeks, and then a month goes by and you forget it's been,
oh, my calendar is my space. Like I look at it and I regard it with respect. And I did a whole podcast episode about how you have to respect your calendar. Like if I put something in my calendar and I'm ignoring it, I have to look at it and go, why? Am I ignoring it because there's a block for me? Because it seems hard. I don't want to do it. Do I need to break it down farther? Am I doing it because it's just not important to me anymore? Then get it off my calendar. Yeah, my calendar is like my husband and I schedule Like everything goes in our calendar.
Oh, me, mine too. Absolutely. I had to teach my husband how to use it on his phone so I could see what was going on and what he was scheduling. So I was aware, you know, do I need the kids? Are they at daycare? You know, so it's so good to have that.
Yeah, I'll mention something to my husband and he's like, put it in my calendar. And okay, let me find my phone. Because he'll be like, if you didn't put it in my calendar, I don't know it exists. And I'm like, but I told you. He's like, does it count?
Well, before we go, I just have a couple quick questions. What I call the ultimate guide of the business rescue roadmap. And I would love to hear really quickly, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
I get to do whatever I want. I get to create whatever I want, you know, hang out with whoever I want. Like I ultimately get to be the decision maker, and that's extremely scary, but extremely invigorating at the same time.
Absolutely. And what's the most challenging part for you?
Not doing everything all at once.
Yeah. I want everything done yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I want to take over the world and like, you know, start a 501c and help moms like get support so they can start business. Like I've got total dreams of grandeur and there's definitely not enough time to do all of that right now. And so I have to slow myself down for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what is one go-to online tool that you use, whether it's to help save your business or rescue your life? So professional or personal?
Oh, this one's easy. Trello is my work wife and eternal love. Yeah, Trello for sure. I live in it. I will say coming up second in my coaching business, I basically use it's on my phone. It's a little app. It's just called Voice Memo.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way I answer a lot of my clients, you know, review their content, do things like that, or help people in my community, as I do a quick voice recording and I can just shoot it to them an email or share it to a Dropbox folder or something like that. And instead of me typing all the time, it actually allows me to be in the car or doing things and move my business forward in a way that works best for me. It's amazing. So like someone will be in my team, be like, hey, Harrow's got this thing, and I'll just do a voice recording and they'll type it up. You know, someone's like, oh, I have this sales page, and I'll take a quick look and I'll talk about it and then send it. So I can get so much more done from that little tiny, I'm pretty sure I have a free version, but you know, app that allows me to work in a way that I work best. And I have seen like massive productivity and save time from it.
And I would think your clients would appreciate that way more too. I'd rather have you talk to me than email me.
Yeah. And you spend time like writing. Even if you're a fast typer, which I am, you spend time thinking about it, structuring sentences. Like I can literally pop up the voice memo and go, okay, let me look at this. All right, I'm looking at it in real time. Right. I see this is interesting. And so it doesn't have to be perfectly choreographed sentences, which you try to do when you're writing and have it make all sense. I could be a little here and there and figuring things out and discussing and brainstorming and that kind of thing. And it works perfectly fine. Or I can give content to my team, which is massively valuable.
Yeah.
And that works. And then we use Voxer too to like go back and forth. So for me, getting out Voxer. My email and into something that's voice has totally allowed me to grow my team, you know, grow my clientele, all of that stuff, and add a lot more value.
Yeah, great. Thank you for sharing those. Yeah. One last solid piece of advice that you'd give to an entrepreneur really looking to level up their business.
Take Mondays without calls. Don't schedule calls on Mondays.
Get to work. Like, yes.
Yeah, I used to freak out on Sundays because I'd be like, oh, there's all these things that didn't get done last week. I need to do them. And oh, I got to stay up late on Sunday. And I stopped. Like I only take calls, except for on very rare occasions, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's basically where I am. Like when, you know, if there's a holiday week, it totally throws up my schedule, right. But you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So my Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays and everything are pretty much my space to create, because the biggest mistake I think entrepreneurs make is you fill all your time having conversations with people or being on sales calls or doing webinars, and you leave no time to execute and have to have time to brainstorm, to execute and to strategize in your business, or there is no way to grow it.
Yeah. And I think people are afraid, well, if I only let them pick a call on Tuesday or Thursday, what if that doesn't work for their schedule? I don't want to lose them. So they're in that, you know, desperate phase of, I need to open up my calendar. And understand that people will, if they want to work with you, they will make it work. Or they'll email and say, hey, is there any way you could do this or that? I've got this going on those days.
Oh,
so I love it.
Imagine back to like high school. Like, was the person that was super available all the time, like, right. was not the right. alluring person. It was the person that yes. was, like, elusive and, like, ooh, I don't know. And that's the same thing in your business. Like, it's okay to only have certain times and to appear busy.
Yeah, oh, for
it's
sure.
It's not like you're falsifying busyness, but honestly, like, say, these are the only times I'm available for calls. And I've been on, you know, asked to be on podcasts, and then I go into schedule, and I have to schedule like a month in advance. And part of me is like, thank goodness, because right. I really have time next week anyway. And I totally understand it. Like, you don't have to have your calendar open all the time. People understand that. And if somebody comes in and you recognize they scheduled an appointment for next month, you can totally reach out to that person and say, I would love to meet early. Let's figure something out. But then you have control, not
right.
them.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, go the opposite direction. You get invited to be on a podcast and they're open tomorrow all day. It almost makes you go, okay, what's wrong with this picture here? You know, that this shouldn't be happening.
Well, and I've been invited to ones where it's like, oh, here's an online summit. We're trying to record everything this week. Get in there and you're like, I would love to, but I have no time for
right,
you.
Right, right. Absolutely. It's got to work. So yeah. Great. Well, Dana, thank you so much for being here. Where can my listeners find more about you? Just fill us in anything you'd like to share here.
Yeah. So super easy. boss-mom.com is our website. And if you want to try out Trello, I have a whole free training on Trello, how it works, gives you some of my boards for free. I've heard really good things about it being helpful for other people in their business. And that's just boss-mom.com/Trello.
Great.
And you get to our Boss Mom podcast from the website and all of our content and all that fun stuff.
Your community
stuff.
On Facebook too?
Yep. It's boss-mom.com/Facebook. We hit 2,000 a week or so ago.
I know. So it's so crazy. So crazy. It's just been, yeah, really, really fast. And you've got some really great people in there that actually want to collaborate and not just promote. And I love that about your community.
I know. People ask me, they're like, Dana, how did you build the community like that? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I really think, though, it's just when you put off the energy that you do, you're attracting it. So it really is just, I think, so great. And it shows the kind of business that you're building. So I really appreciate the community. And just thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you as well. You're right.
Well, thanks for all that you've done for me as well and having me on the show. Your community's been great and I love connecting with them as well. So thank you again and thanks for being here and so excited to have my audience get to experience you now.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. And you are the reason why I love my job is I get to just hang out with awesome people like you all day.
Oh, likewise. Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit stacytushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.